Hello, and welcome to Social Media Marketing GPS, a series of American Marketing Association podcasts to help you build a roadmap to social media success. I'm your host, Nancy Piccolo, Director of Online Content for the AMA. Today's podcast is the eighth in a series of podcasts on trends and best practices in social media. Joining me today is our moderator, Toby Bloomberg, author of a new ebook, Social Media Marketing GPS, a guide to social media one tweet at a time, featuring 40 of today's most influential thought leaders in social media. Toby is a recognized speaker on social media and is a frequent presenter at a number of AMA conferences and events. She also serves as moderator of the AMA's Interactive Marketing Online Community. Toby's blog, Diva Marketing, at divamarketingblog.com, is included in the Forbes list of top 20 marketing and social media blogs by women. Her company, co-branded with her blog, Bloomberg Marketing, Diva Marketing, helps the people within organizations join the digital conversation to create corner grocery store relationships without getting blown up. You can also follow her on Twitter, at Toby Diva. We're also very excited to welcome our special guests for today's podcast, Christine B. Whitmore and Joel Rubinson. Christine B. Whitmore is Chief Simplifier of Simple Marketing Now, LLC, a marketing communications consultancy that helps organizations better connect with customers through social media and content marketing. A highly respected marketer, she focuses on the customer experience, marketing to women, and using content and social media marketing to connect with customers. Formerly Director, In-Store Innovation for Solutia's Wear Dated Carpet Fiber, Christine has been active in the social media space since June 2006, when she launched her marketing blog, Flooring the Consumer, about the customer retail experience, marketing to women, and social media marketing. It's ranked in the Ad Age Marketing Power 150 blogs and listed on all top. She also writes the Simple Marketing Now blog, ranked number 11 on the Jump to 42 Top 42 Content Marketing blog about marketing, social media, and content. Whitmore is a columnist for Floor Covering Weekly, where she writes about the customer retail experience. She contributes to Marketing Profs on the Content Marketing Institute. She's a frequent speaker on the topic of customer experience in marketing with social media, and she serves on the Columbia Business School's Alumni Club of New York Board of Directors and is a member of the Services Education Advisory Council. She earned her undergraduate degree from Smith College and her MBA from Columbia University. We'd also like to welcome Joel Rubinson, president and founder of Rubinson Partners, Inc., a marketing and research consultancy for a brave new world. Prior to that, as chief research officer at the ARF, Joel interacted directly with hundreds of research leaders and drove the organization's initiatives regarding notably research transformation, designing the future of the profession, 360 media and marketing, social media and listening, online research data quality, and shopper insights. Joel helped build awareness of the ARF and its priorities by building a sizable social media presence via a blog that achieved thousands of page views each month and with a Twitter profile of nearly 3,000 followers. Prior to joining the ARF, Joel was Senior Vice President, Head of Advanced Solutions for Synovate North America, where he was their leading branding resource and was also the global thought leader for shopper research. Before joining Synovate, Joel was the MPD group for many years, leading the creation of tools for brand equity management, new product forecasting, category management, and designed many of their data collection and sampling methodologies as MPD changed from paper diaries to online research. Joel started his research career at Unilever. Joel is also a published author of numerous papers in professional journals and a frequent speaker at industry conferences. He has taught the official AMA Advanced Tutorial on Brand Loyalty and lectured at Columbia, NYU, Wharton, Amos Tuck School, and University of Rochester, among others. He holds an MBA in Statistics and Economics from the University of Chicago and a BS from NYU. Toby, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much to you, Nancy. And I'd like to add my welcome to ZB and Joel. So glad that you could make this podcast.
Thank you.
And ZB, nice to hear your voice again.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. In Chapter 3, the chapter that you all wrote, Social Media Research, The First Listening, we did something a little bit different. CB provided specific information about how listening impacted the decision process when she worked at Wear Dated, and Joel answered the question, can social media listening off-track you if buzz is a small fraction of what most customers feel about your brand? In keeping with our short format, we're going to try to hold our conversation not to 140 characters, but to about 14 minutes. And we'll begin this show, as we've done the past shows, by reading a few of the tweets from the chapter. And then we'll take a deeper dive into social media research. I'll kick off with some of my tweets. And then, CB, since your tweets came first, would you pick it up?
Absolutely.
And Joel, then you?
Sure.
Okay. Listen or thy tongue will keep thee deaf, Native American. An exciting benefit of SM is hearing the raw voices of your customers. We can listen without formal prompts or question guides. Consumer-generated media provides one more piece of information that business can use to mitigate risks in decision-making. Caution. Back-fence conversations may be early warning signs or trends, but could be short-lived buzz started by a few influencers. Statistics won't tell you the entire story. Critical new metrics to analyze include the halo effect and snowball build. Integrate SM into marketing research strategy as the first listening post. Use traditional research to delve confirmed findings. Benefits from active monitoring digital buzz range from an early warning for crisis management to responsive customer care. And thanks to Tom Mortar, Chick-fil-A, and Greg Rapton, Marketecture, for the use of the term first listening post. CB?
Okay. Listening, it's so critical, yet so often done poorly, especially in many pre-digital or traditional product-based organizations. Why? Because product-based organizations tend to not think about the needs and wants of the marketplace. It's just too messy. And a severe case of curse of knowledge means routinely underestimating consumers and assuming that they just don't understand. So listening for where dated meant an opportunity to educate the flooring retail marketplace about women consumers. That's right, their retail experience. They didn't see it would cost them business, word of mouth, and referrals because consumers have many choices now. We explained that women consumers have high expectations for the retail experience, including clean bathrooms and tidy stores. They also hate a hard sell, and salespeople who don't listen, aren't patient, and don't value their research and requirements.
Okay, so you want me just to read some of my tweets? The question that Toby posed to me was, can social media listening off track you if buzz is a small fraction of what most customers feel about your brand? And my responses were, first, that we must separate measuring the expected, which is tracking business growth, from listening for the unexpected, which is where innovation and corporate reputation signals will come from. Census, you know, people have questioned, is social media, you know, valid statistically? It's a census in naturally occurring vocabulary in people's own words, what they care about, not just attribute lists, in other words, in a survey. Next tweet was, market research must evolve. Surveys can be torture, yet people love to express themselves in social media. Why? People want to be heard, opinions validated. Brand loyalty flip. How will you show loyalty to me? By listening and conversing. Listening to social media places the human in control, what they want to talk about. If data are thin, that's a finding. Surveys are often centered on the brand. Listening is centered on a human-based framing question. Skate to where the puck will be. Representativity of social media is growing, but in 3 years will be fairly representative, so you must start now. And I guess the final thing I would mention is that a recent ARF conference, P&G and Nielsen co-presented integrated strategy, and surveys, they found that surveys missed the passion, cultural connections, words that listening picked up, but surveys quantified. Need both. So I guess that's a summary of my thinking on this.
Your summary of your thinking, of both of your thinking, in 140-character tweets. CB, you said something before we started this call. You said, now we've closed the loop. We've tweeted, we've exchanged several emails, we've actually put this on a blog, and now we're hearing each other's voices. So it's to remind us that social media is not only text, but it's audio as well. And each one of the medias add a different dimension. So thank you for adding this dimension of voice. CB, you, one of your tweets, you say something very interesting. you say that knowledge can be a curse if people routinely misunderstand consumers. And with listening to the social web, we are constantly getting bombarded by information. So let me ask you both. Is social media monitoring and listening, even though we say it's a good thing, can it be a curse? CB, why don't you take it first?
Ooh, what a question.
Inspired by you.
Well, yes, and curse of knowledge is particularly troublesome, I think, for on the end of listening. As you are listening to what others are saying, you have in your mind a set thought. And the danger of the curse of knowledge is that you aren't open to different interpretations and different possibilities. We certainly are bombarded, our customers are bombarded with even more. And if we can keep an open mind, I think we're better able to understand what they're trying to find as a solution and better able to bring them meaning that they will value.
Joe?
You know, this reminds me of a story where someone from one of the best-known digital marketing, you know, web-based companies, I was in a breakout group with them, and the question was, it had to do with how you make social media comments available to the marketing team. And his response was, it's really dangerous to just give them, you know, access to all of that, you know, before you have a chance to digest it and kind of serve up what's important. And I said to him afterwards, someone I know really well, one-on-one conversation, I said, you know, the whole thing about social media is that you can't control the conversation. You can't control what the marketing team is going to choose to listen to by going to Twitter or socialmention.com or, you know, or any of these, or Ice Rocket. I mean, they can listen to anything they want. So, you know, you can't be a gatekeeper for this kind of feedback. And he looked at me and he said, oh, my God, I'm the enemy. So, you know, it's really, it's tough. Even if you're trying to be progressive, it's tough to really flip that switch in your head. But you have to, because that's just the nature of the democratization of marketing, basically, via social media. You have to find a way to make that work for you.
And so when we're talking about social media listening and monitoring, it's quite different, obviously, than traditional research, because you don't know what you're going to get and you have no control. Who do you think in the organization should own this? Should it, Joel, should it come out of consumer insights? Christina, should it come out of branding? Who owns the listening part of social media?
I mean, I think nature abhors a vacuum. And right now in most organizations, there has been and still is in many organizations a vacuum. It's an opportunity for anybody to step up to the plate and, you know, say, I'm going to take ownership of this. I'm going to be the company subject matter expert and, you know, really take a leadership position. I mean, marketing researchers have always lamented, gee, how do we get a seat at the table? This is your opportunity. There's a different table. This is the table you should be trying to get the seat at. You should be trying to be at the head of that table. You know, it's all about bringing the voice of the human into marketing decision making, and there's no better way to do that than the unfiltered, you know, vocabulary and concerns of people as reflected in what they choose to talk about.
To me, there are different levels of this, Toby. I think that if we're truly passionate about our customers, then everyone in the organization has a customer-facing role. And from that perspective, we should all be involved in listening. There's a functional level of listening. I mean, we should know. We should be paying attention. But then there is that higher level role where a lot of those, I'll call them functional level or individual level, all those insights then are put into that bigger context and then can be made use of strategically. And that's where the role of a champion is so very important. And whether it's in market research or the CEO or whomever, there's the need for everyone in the company to own it, but also to have a champion to encourage it and then to create that excitement that comes from realizing there are insights out there that will help benefit our customers and improve the products and services that we offer.
So if I'm hearing you right, you're both saying that it doesn't really matter who owns social media listening. It could be branding. It could be consumer insights. But that research has this amazing opportunity to do something innovative and new and to tie it back in to their overall strategy. Is that a fair statement?
I mean, let me say that this is an area that's not yet well understood by most marketers. This is an opportunity for a marketer to understand how to integrate and synthesize these naturally occurring organic conversations, how to synthesize that with quantitative research in a way that you turn consumer insights into a competitive differentiator for your organization. At the ARF, we talk about research transformation, which is, you know, part of what I continue to do in my relationship with the ARF. Research transformation isn't just about transforming research. It's about research being an agent of change for the whole organization. So I think this is a huge opportunity for the organization to embrace this, the metaphor that we use is a river. It's a river of continuous valuable information that existed before the marketing question existed. Very different from the traditional way marketing researchers think about things, where you have a business question, you do a project. This river of information exists. The commentary in social media, the search, digital breadcrumbs, this all exists before the marketing question gets articulated, so you can just like dip into the river and you can, you know, get really valuable insights. And the organizations that embrace that, understand it, and get ahead of the curve will have true competitive advantage.
CB, anything to add?
I love the notion of river because it is bigger than one individual, and it means that the more people dipping their toes in and trying to drink from the river for those insights, the more they're able to bring and crystallize valuable insights that benefit both the organization and the customer. And it is uncharted territory. We're going into a new way of dealing with this river of information. I think what's most critical is that there be passion around doing it, and that it not be considered a burden.
Which brings us back to Joel's remark that it's human-based and there is passion in the words and in the sentiments that people are expressing in what you call, Joel, the digital breadcrumbs. So here we have a huge flowing river of information, but at the same time you've reminded us that there are small pieces that really are human, and that's where we're going to find the soul in this. And with that, our time is just about out. CD, would you tell people where they can find you in the worldwide social media web? Where can they find you on Twitter?
On Twitter at CB Whittemore. On the web, you can find me at the Simple Marketing Blog at simplemarketingblog.com. And my website is simplemarketingnow.com.
And Joel, where can they find you?
You can find me at blog.joelrubinson.com. All one word, no spaces or anything, .net. And my Twitter handle is also Joel Rubinson. Tried to keep it simple for everybody.
and branded.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, I guess we're in the era of personal branding, aren't we? So, you know.
And consistency.
And consistency, absolutely.
There you go, right.
And you can find me at Toby Diva. And with that, Nancy, where can we find AMA?
You can find AMA at marketing_power and follow all of the lists there, including one for research. Well, thank you, everyone, for your great insights today, as we have been talking about research insights in social media. We've been talking to Toby Bloomberg, Christine B. Whittemore, and Joel Rubinson. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of our AMA Social Media Marketing GPS podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience for you. Look for information on other upcoming podcasts in the social media series by visiting marketingpower.com/podcast. And make sure you sign up for our feed on Marketing Power so you're aware of all of our podcast series available to you. You can download Toby Bloomberg's ebook, Social Media Marketing GPS, A Guide to Social Media One Tweet at a Time, by visiting divamarketingblog.com or the Social Media Podcast Series page on Marketing Power. Until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Piccella. Thanks so much for joining us.